Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the psalmist invites us to celebrate your rule. We pray this morning that that truth will truly impact our own hearts and minds and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We love to celebrate, don't we? We celebrate the birth of children. We've done that with the birth of little Annie. We celebrate birthdays. We enjoy birthdays, don't we? Unless, of course, we're getting older, then we don't seem to be wanting to celebrate as we get older. But we celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. This year, Anna and I are going to celebrate our 25th anniversary. Isn't that amazing? 25 years. God's grace is great. We celebrate weddings. We celebrate family. I know that when I was travelling up and down between Canberra and Sydney, I must say that I celebrated every time I came home to be with Anna and the kids and celebrated when we had times together. I didn't throw a party, but it was like an internal celebration. So we enjoy to celebrate. And the psalmist this morning encourages us to celebrate. Encourages us to celebrate the great truth that God is King. And every Sunday when we meet, we are actually celebrating that glorious truth that God is King. He rules over all things. So this morning we're going to go through Psalm 47, and we see that God rules, but also rules for his people, as we see this in verses 1 to 4. Now, you know that I'm not into rugby league or rugby union or AFL. I'm just not that sort of guy. I know David Brooks loves his Cronulla, maybe too much, but we'll leave that for another time. But it is interesting that as I, you know, read Psalm 47, it did remind me, see, because when you read it, you think, clap your hands. What sort of image does that give you? Well, I want to give you another image. We're Canberrans, so we all go for Raiders, don't we?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Okay. But one thing about the Raiders, they have this clap, don't they? The, what is it called? The Raiders Viking clap. Have you ever seen it on YouTube? Even I've seen it. Come on. Yes. There's this huge crap. No. Oh, get a life. Go and have a look. It's huge. The crowd. The Canberrans get together. They blow this big horn. And then they just, you know, in unison, do this humongous clap that just shakes the earth. And I think Psalm 47 is that sort of clap. It's not this like little applause. It's a clap that's going to shake the earth. And of course, what are the Raiders fans saying? We belong to the Raiders. And I think in this verse, chapter 1, the nations, and we'll find out why they're doing this, is actually saying we're rejoicing that God is King, that God is our King, that we can identify with him. And we'll see as we go in the psalm where that understanding will come from. So Psalm 1 and 2, so the verse 1 and 2, remember, think about the Viking clap. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. The reason being, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. So these nations or these people are shouting and clapping for the God of Israel, because that's the capitalized Lord there is God's covenantal name. He's awesome. He's to be feared. He's the great King over all the earth. He reigns. So celebrate it. But it is odd, because normally the nations in the Old Testament are opposing God. And in this psalm, they're clapping, acknowledging his lordship. But we'll find out again why that comes about. But here, God is celebrated as the God who rules. But we see that he rules for his people. It's not self-centered, because the writer remembers the time when God led his people into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and of course gave it to them and subdued the nations. Look at verse 3 and 4. He subdued nations under him, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. And that inheritance, of course, is the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants. And why did God do that? Both to fulfill his promises, but because he loved his people. So here in this section, we have a choice. Do you join God's people and do that mighty clap and acknowledge God as King? Or are you one of those nations that are going to be subdued under God's people's feet? Because what this psalm is declaring is that no one and no nation that opposes God or his people will ever in the end win. God's rule is universal. The psalmist declares that. The whole of the Old Testament declares that. God is never a territory sort of deity. He's not limited to Israel. And we also must think he's not limited to white Anglo-Saxons, please, or to Australia. God's rule is universal. He rules over all the earth. And one day that rule will be acknowledged. And part of that is sort of, well, that truth is brought out in verses 5 to 7. God rules over all people because he's the king of all the earth. And verse 7, which also echoes verse 2, declares that. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. There is no place in this world where God cannot say, this is mine. Every area belongs to God. And in this section, we are given a picture of God, in one sense, ascending to his thrones with shouts of joy and praise. And I read from verse 5. God has ascended amongst shouts of joy. The Lord amid the shouting, or the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. So the psalmist invites us to praise him. The enthronement doesn't declare that God is king. Sorry, the enthronement doesn't make God king. It declares that God is king. The throne is his by right. God has always been king over all the earth. It's just that people and nations have denied his kingship and opposed his rule. Now, some people have suggested that this psalm it was also possibly written when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You have that picture of David in his undies, jumping and dancing and celebrating. Now, there's a guy that knows how to celebrate, rejoicing in God's kingship and rule. And the reason why they say that it may sort of focus that attention to the Ark is because in 2 Samuel it talks about shouts of joy and trumpets. And of course this psalm talks about God ascending. I mean shouts of joy and sounds of trumpets. As true as that might be, the psalm of course invites us to celebrate something even greater than just the Ark coming into Jerusalem. It's God's kingship. In the past, and we saw a few kings and queens, when a new monarch took the throne, there was the hope of a better future. And I mean, people celebrated the monarch. And I mean, maybe the closest we can get today is possibly people celebrating an election, depending, of course, whose party wins. I know. It depends if you're committed to that party that you're going to stay up all night. I think like the Northern Territory people stayed up all night waiting for the victory. But of course, human rulers, be they monarchs, presidents or prime ministers, can and do disappoint. But with the declaration that God is king, there is a sure and certain hope for a better future, because God rules for his people. In this psalm, there's a great sense of joy as God is declared king of all the earth, and the earth is invited to sing a psalm or song of praise. The psalm displays a good and gracious God, a big picture of God. He is awesome and to be feared because he is the king. He reigns over all the earth. And either, as we read this psalm, it says to us, are we going to celebrate that? Are we going to join in that celebration? Are we going to rejoice in God's reign? Or do we oppose it, neglect it, ignore it? But God will rule one day, as the psalm points out, not over a divided earth, a divided people like today, but over one people, made up of many people, from every tribe, every nation, every country, and every language. We see that in verses 8 and 9. The psalmist declares that God reigns over the nations, that he's seated on a throne. He says in verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. That's a declaration. That is a reality. But does it actually affect us or change us? Because the nations are still in rebellion. The world is still opposed to God. But the psalmist reminds us to celebrate that God is king. He reigns.
The psalmist actually has this vision of the nobles of the people, the kings of the earth, assembling together in the presence of God in verse 9. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And that verse is the clincher, because it says something that sort of throws us. Because these nations that are coming, the kings or the nobles, assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. Now that throws us in, because, you know, suddenly the psalm becomes the fulfillment of a promise that God made to Abraham. Back in Genesis chapter 12, it says this: the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, them I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. There's that promise. And how will this come about? How can this psalm be fulfilled? Well, you go to, of course, the New Testament. You go to the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Matthew points us very clearly in the right direction, because he starts off with the genealogy of Jesus, and he says this: this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's through Jesus, as a descendant of Abraham, that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. But how can you do this? I'm not a Jew. Am I going to get the blessings of Abraham? Well, the Apostle Paul picks up that theme in the letter to the Galatians that we read, when he tells his readers that they are all sons of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. That's faith in Jesus. Scripture foresaw that God will justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations, or all people, will be blessed through you. So this psalm is presenting the fulfillment of this prophecy. And of course, the only one that fulfills this is, of course, the Lord Jesus. It's through faith in him that we receive the blessed promise of Abraham. This psalm proclaims the fulfillment of God's goal. God's goal has always been for all people to be blessed. God's goal is to redeem the peoples of the world and bring them together into one humanity through Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul reminds his readers in Ephesus of this truth in Ephesus chapter 2. For he himself, that is Christ, is our peace, who has made two groups one. His purpose was to create in himself one humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. So this unity that the psalmist is presenting to celebrate under the kingship of God is coming about through Christ. So when we read this psalm, and we need to read it again in light of verse 9, because that's the ending. The ending sort of helps us to understand this psalm. We understand why those nations and those peoples can do that Vikings clap, because they do belong to the people of God. They can rejoice in God as king, because he is their king because of their faith in Christ. That's why they shout to God with cries of joy. As his people also, we inherit the land, which is the earth that is ours. And those who oppose God's rule, well, they're going to be subjugated under our feet. So this psalm calls us to join by faith in this celebration. Faith in Christ with the people of God to praise God as our King. It is also interesting, and I think logical, that the early church used this psalm to remember and to celebrate the ascension of Jesus. We sometimes don't always remember that. We think about the cross, important, don't stone me. The resurrection, important, absolutely. But Christ has ascended. Where has he ascended? He's ascended to his throne. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He rules and reigns today. You know, there was once a day when people wrote AD, not before Common Era or Common Era, Annus Deus. You know, it is normally translated in the year of our Lord. In the year of his reign, Christ reigns. Today, the Lord Jesus is king over all the earth. He is king because of his obedience. He died on the cross, he was resurrected, and so he reigns. And his people yesterday, today, and tomorrow will continue to sing his praises. We may only be able to sing them in our hearts at the moment, but singing his praises is not just opening your mouth and singing a tune. Singing his praises is also living in light of what he's done and who he is. Our lives should be full of praise that he is our king, that he's redeemed us, rescued us. And of course, there is a song that's being sung right now in heaven. And we're told about that in the book of Revelation chapter 5. And I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So there is a celebration happening right now. And every Sunday when we meet, we're celebrating that Christ is King. Psalm 47 points us to our future, to the future of this world, when the blessings of Abraham will be finally realized by people. People from different countries, tribes, and language groups being gathered together because of Jesus and praising him. It is worth coming together every Sunday to celebrate that Christ is King, to celebrate his victory, to celebrate the future that he offers to us. Our lives are full of celebrations at times. It is important for us to celebrate the milestones in our lives, in our family lives, and even in our nations. But this psalm calls us, encourages us to celebrate Jesus' kingship over all the earth. And we do this, as I've reminded you, not just through singing, but through our lives. The way that we respond to situations that we're living in, as we respond to the pandemic, as we respond to our neighbours and friends. We don't respond with fear, but of course with hope, a certain hope in Christ Jesus. And that's important for us to have. It's not wishful hope, it's a certain hope. It means when things seem bleak and dark, we look forward to the future. Christ has been risen from the dead. Christ died, Christ has been risen, Christ has ascended, Christ reigns, and Christ will return. There's our hope. And the psalm therefore encourages us to keep trusting God. No matter what is happening in the world, he's still king, he's still ruling. We're moving towards that point when he will return, when Christ will reign, God will be all in all, and there'll be no opposition. And what's our response? You and I are to honour him. We are to please him. We are to celebrate the gospel in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we speak to one another, the way that we work, be it at church, in our families, or in our workplace, wherever we are celebrating the gospel, the truth of the gospel, both in our words and in our works, so that people will come to know and rejoice in Jesus as their King, now and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the psalmist invites us to celebrate your kingship. May we never forget that. We may be a bit unused to the idea of a king or a monarch, but Lord, we pray that we know that you rule and you reign, and you reign and rule for us, for our good, and that no part of this world is not under your jurisdiction, under your rule. Help us as we go out this week, no matter where we go, to go out celebrating your rule, celebrating your kingship, living it out in such a way that we can invite others to come under your loving and gracious and good rule. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.